Welcome to another podcast by Dr. Dennis Smith, Senior Pastor of Covenant Life Ministries. To find out more, go to lifeinfocustv.com.
It seemed as if it was a real contradiction to try to make the segue today to a fun family fest day and all the just the lighthearted and enjoyment, all those things, and actually share about some things I'm going to be sharing about this morning. I had to think about that for a while, but I felt like this was so crucial, so very important. Not necessarily that what I'm going to say this morning is going to make any difference in election or the choice you make. That's not what this is about. And certainly what I'm saying is not a personal attack on anyone concerning their selections, their votes they make. It's not an attack on any candidate. Certainly not an endorsement on any candidate. But I do think there's some important things as believers, as Christians, for us to take note of and for us to examine just for a few moments this morning. So if you'll bear with me, I pray that the Lord will help you to tune in and listen with your minds, listen with your hearts, and let the Lord speak into your life today. In 2 days, the election will be over, or at least we think it'll be over then. And it seems as if the election season has been going on for years, and I think most people just suffering from election fatigue and depressed or angry or fearful or disgusted or all of the above. This election is unlike any I've known or experienced in my entire life, and that perhaps is true for you too, where technically we see that two of the most unpopular candidates, period, that we have are running for the top office in the country. All kinds of personal attacks, scandals, media bias, corruption, like never before. And yet, here we are. It happens every 4 years, this wonderful, amazing opportunity and the freedom to vote, to select our leaders. And before I go on any further, I think we need to look into the scripture and read some very important things concerning the nation and being a nation under God. And I want to pick up with Psalm 33, verse 12 in the Amplified Bible. Psalm 33, verse 12. And it says, blessed, most of you are familiar with this, blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, I know this is from Old Testament, speaking specifically directly to Israel, but it's very applicable to any nation that would serve and honor the Lord, that they're blessed, they're prosperous, they're favored by God. The nation, any nation whose God is the Lord, the people who he has chosen as his own inheritance. And in Proverbs 29, verse 2, in the New Living Translation, the Bible says, when the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in power, the people groan. And there's been a lot of groaning going on, it seems, in recent years. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says, in this New Living Translation says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. And my people, of course, those who follow God, in our situation, and we're of course referring to believers, followers of Christ. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I'll heal and restore their land. And there's where the answer lies. There's the solution. There is what is extremely important for us to do as a nation, regardless of what happens in the political realm. As many of you, I've struggled over this election more than any other. Who could have imagined that just a couple of years ago that we would be where we are, would be in this place? For many, people say, well, you know, neither one is my choice. And that may be true of you. For you, I don't know. Neither one is my choice, or at least was not my number one choice. So what should I do? Or how do I choose between the lesser of two evils? That's a real dilemma, and I understand that. And that's what's prompted some people to write in or third party, whatever. And I respect that. And if in their convictions, and that's what they determine they need to do in their heart before the Lord, I respect that. In reality, we know, as our system is set up, that we have two parties and we only have two individuals, and one of them will be president. And so in the light of that, it's very difficult to decide what's the best thing to do, so that not the lesser of two evils, but what it comes down to is, what decision do I make that can be the better choice? Not what's the less of two evils, but what's the better choice I can make? We don't have anyone perfect running for office, and that's for sure. Now, there's a few questions we've been dealing with, because you asked questions for the last few weeks, and I've been responding to questions you've asked, but let me ask a few more questions this morning, and let's ask and answer. First of all, why vote? Why vote? Should a Christian vote? The answer is yes. A Christian should vote. We should exercise our influence, the influence that we have. It's a gift from God. We have a unique system of government where the people have a voice. And the Bible says that to whom much is given, much is required. When we are blessed and given responsibilities like this, we are to take them seriously. So we have that privilege. We should certainly vote. Now, we understand the democracy or representative republic like ours, that when it comes to election or voting, that by people choosing who's going to be the leader, that only works well when a nation is under God. That only works well in a moral nation. For any other nation, immoral people, or anyone who serves pagans to choose their own leaders is not a good thing. But America's self-governing and this beautiful miracle that God put together worked because this nation was built upon sound biblical principles, and a nation that was determined that we are here to honor God and we're here to share the gospel. So why? Yes, vote. Every believer, every Christian should vote. Voting is a right, a privilege, a freedom, and I believe a responsibility. So should we vote? Yes. Well, we are called to be salt and light in this world, and that's one of the ways that we can do that. Well, does my vote count? Does it make any difference at all? In the 2012 election, there were around 90 million Christians of voting age in the U.S. Of those 90 million, about 70 million were registered to vote. There were 39 million Christian voters who were not registered or just decided not to vote in that election. 13 million not registered, 26 million decided not to vote. The election that put President Obama into office had a margin of just about 3.5 million. Now, these things apply not only to national elections, but they apply to our state and to local elections as well. Some, particularly local elections, are decided by just a handful of votes. It's important that you know what you stand for, know who you're voting for. We should take it seriously. We should see what is at stake. And so, yes, we are to vote, and yes, your vote does count. And we're accountable, I think, for those decisions we make. So as few as 16% of all eligible voters in a district can elect a member of Congress. Well, your vote counts. By one vote, Texas was admitted to the Union. Now, looking back, I mean, wish that hadn't happened. But by one vote, Texas was admitted to the Union. By one vote, Hitler won leadership to the German Nazi Party. By one vote, the U.S. House of Representatives elected Thomas Jefferson as the president. One vote can make a huge difference. But how do I choose who to vote for? How do I know who to vote for? Well, that's a tremendous problem today, because we have so many people who just are not informed. They are uninformed and in many ways ignorant of how this nation functions and of the principles of government. There are people who are uninformed and there are people who are misinformed. So many people today who are deceived and who feed into a propaganda that's out there that's fed through the media, mainstream media, and also even through some of our liberal educational systems, some of our colleges that spews out the liberal anti-God sentiment, and understand that the millennials of today, that many of the young people, majority of millennial generations actually favor socialism. They don't have a clue to the history and the founding of this nation or the principles that guided it. And there's more and more of that group every election cycle. Something has to change, or else the nation is headed in a direction It'll never return. It'll never recover. Now, one thing when trying to make it a section, you know, when you look at the individuals and who should I select and go third party, Republican, Democrat, whatever, one of the most important things I believe is to look at the party platform. And a particular party's platform is a format, a set of principles or goals by which they intend to govern. It's what they stand for. Now, whether they're going to abide by it or not, we have no guarantee. But these are the principles that they've agreed that this party, that their leadership will stand on. In the foyer, I've had for 2 or 3 weeks now, I've had a copy front and back that describes the party platform of each party, Republican and Democrat. And it gives how each one stands on particular issues. If you don't have a copy of this, please feel free to pick up a copy as you leave. This is important to look at in trying to make a decision as a believer. There's also another piece that actually in particular describes the difference between each one of the presidential candidates and how they stand on these issues. That's available too. So this is not a promotion of a candidate. This is a sharing of information that I think is extremely important. And some people, unfortunately, get busy with other things, or their news information is not very accurate, and they're not even aware of these things. Be aware of these things. It's important. Or take some, pass along to some other folks and make them aware of that, because it's extremely important when we see what a particular party stands for and which party will you support. No party's perfect. Both parties have contributed in somewhat to the mess that we're in today. No political party will solve all of our problems. But what is at stake? What about the issues? When you look at this, you'll see. One choice is to continue down the same terrible destructive policies that we have in the past 8 years, surrounded by scandals. You will possibly investigation, indictment, collusion with Justice Department, pay for play, and being receiving millions from other countries and leaders on one side. And by the way, when we're making decisions concerning president, not that this will be that applicable to this particular state, but for swing states, this is pretty applicable, is that in making selection for president, more than ever before, I think you need to keep in mind who the vice presidential candidates are. And which one do you think would represent your views as a believer? And I won't go any further with that. So will the policies continue that are in place now? The support of abortion, late-term abortion that's supported by, that's paid for by tax dollars, a particular party that stands for supporting gay marriage, that opposes Second Amendment rights to bear arms, that attacks religious liberty and says religious beliefs, it's time that they change, that stands for unprotected borders, that is anti-Israel and pro-Islam, to be politically correct, that has the possibility, the real, very real possibility of making from 1 to 4 appointments to the Supreme Court, to appoint Supreme Court justices along with dozens, if not hundreds, of federal appointments and we have to understand, folks, and when it comes to governing this nation now, I don't think it was ever supposed to be in the hands of the court system the way it is today. I think they've overreached. But you have to understand that that's where a lot of the decisions of the people of states where they have had particular elections or when they have voted on particular issues and they have decided this is the way we want it, when it has been appealed and taken to higher courts, the will of the people sometimes has been reversed. And so the rule does not come through the people, but it comes through the justices, through the judges. And understand that whoever makes the next 1 to 4 appointments will change the course of this nation for 30 or 40 years or more. That's not a political statement. That is just simply fact. That will be what happens. You have to look at all these things, regardless of how you personally may feel about certain individuals. For many, if they support on the other side, they're Trump supporters, they're people who feel very strongly about this, very pro, have been for a long time. There are others that just simply see that this is the that this is a choice that they have to make between those two. But nevertheless, the reason we are, I think you can boil down to three main reasons why we are where we are and why we have the choices we have this year. And I think there's three things that have brought it about. I think that we are where we are because there's been a vacuum of honest leadership in our nation. Secondly, I think there's been an absence or suppressing of Christians or the voice of Christianity and the involvement of the church, where we've taken a back seat. And thirdly, I think that's just how our nation has become, the climate of morality or immorality that's in our nation now. And all these things and the frustration over wanting to see things change in our nation and them not changing and the corruption continuing has finally brought people to such a high point of frustration. They said, we just have to do something. Something has to change. And I think that's probably one of the reasons that we are where we are now. So if the presidency changes and goes to a different party now, what will happen? We don't know. There are people who are very fearful of this. There are people who are very hopeful about it. There are some good signs about others that are involved in leadership to connect with a possible change there. We don't know. Now, while there are some positive signs, nobody knows what this leadership will be like. But we do know what the leadership will be like if it continues how it is now. Will someone who comes in to change, if a change comes into that office, will a decision be based on principle, on law, on wisdom, or on the emotions of the moment? What will really happen there? We do need a change. We do need help. And things are going to change one way or another over the next few days, months, or years. Now, I heard someone say, and it's a very sobering thing, is that people usually get the leaders they deserve. Now, no matter who's elected Tuesday, half of the nation's going to be upset, angry, sad, in despair, or whatever. No matter who. So there's going to be a lot of unhappy folks on the days or weeks to follow. Whether we're part of them or not, you know, remains to be seen. Even if a decision is made that we feel more positive about, I think there's still some things for us to be rather apprehensive about, or at least get on our knees before the Lord and stand in faith and pray for our leadership, regardless of who that leadership is. Our nation will bear consequences for our choices. And let me speak into that for just a moment. Because you're going to hear this. I've heard it at every election. I don't know whether God is working behind the scenes and has his hand on a particular candidate or not. If I were to be God, I would say I don't see how in the world he would have come to that conclusion where we are right now. But sometimes God works in some ways. I don't want to say in mysterious ways. I wonder if that's really not very scriptural. But I do believe that sometimes there's some things going on that he's doing that we're not seeing. I believe that's happening. And I recognize that. I say, God, do your work. Do your work in our lives. Do your work in our nation. Work through people who are in places of power right now, God. Speak to them. He has lifted up and brought down kings before, so it's nothing to him to do that now. So there's a great deal of comfort that's found in that. But here's one thing that I encourage you. You know what we teach here. As far as God's sovereignty and our responsibility. You know what we teach here when it comes to the idea that there are some things that happen that are not God's perfect will because he's given men the freedom to choose. We have the opportunity to make choices, and with choices come consequences. Everything that happens in this world is not God's will. It's a result of sin, disobedience, the enemy, a fallen world, all of those things, living in that state. But it was never the way that our God, the God who loves, the God who's perfect, the God who gave his only begotten Son for us, that was not the way he had designed or planned. There's evil, there's wickedness, there's things going on, there are decisions being made in this world today that is not God's will. So please don't buy into the fact that if someone is elected next Tuesday, that you just automatically say, well, that was God's will, or they would not have been elected. They are elected because people vote for them, or electoral college votes for them. period. Now, I pray that God's hand is upon this election. I pray that he in some way superintends it. I pray that he protects people as they vote. I pray for wisdom as people make these decisions. I pray for his Holy Spirit to work over the next few days and from now on, but specifically in some ways in people's hearts over the next few days and in the hearts of the leaders that are to come. I pray for that. But just because someone gets elected doesn't mean that God has preordained them to be elected. He gave you and I the choice. Now, does God know who's going to be elected? Yes, he knows all things. Here's where you have to determine that we have a God who is God and we are not. And although he foreknows and nothing catches him by surprise, he doesn't control what happens. He gave you and I the choice. Because God does not live in a segment of time. He's eternal from before until after. So he knows, but he's trusted these things in the hands of men to decide, and we benefit from them or we suffer from them. And we say, well, now look, what if my candidate is not elected, or what if our nation makes poor choices? The truth is that innocent people hurt because of the bad choices of other people, right? I got good news on the flip side of that, that even though that's true, and no matter what the enemy may try to bring against you because of poor choices made by other people, you are a child of God. You are part of his covenant, and you can claim victory in any situation, and God will help you walk through those times and will cause you to prosper, cause you to be effective in life, cause you to make a change in people's lives, cause you to live in a way that honors him. If you'll just seek him first. you're not a victim, no matter if other people have made decisions that affect you. And that happens to all of us. Our decisions affect other people, right or wrong. It's just a fact. Now, before we vote, pray. So very important. Pray. You know, we would have been far better off if we'd really sought the Lord's direction and listened to him a long time ago. I'm reminded of Samuel when the people of Israel came to him. Samuel, you know, they had the best government going on. God was leading him through his designated men, women. God was their God. They listened to him. He spoke through people and they gave leadership and the people followed him. That was the very best way, the very best way. But everybody else around them had kings. They've got kings. We don't have a king. So they began to cry out to the prophet and say, we want a king like everyone else. And Samuel, I'll paraphrase, and basically said, why do you want a king? You've got it. You've got it the very best it could be right now. Why do you want a king? Well, everybody else has kings. But he warns them. He says in 1 Samuel 8, he says, when you have a king and certain demands are made on you, because you beg for a king, when that day comes, you'll beg for relief from this king. You don't want to be under this king, the one you've chosen for yourselves. But then the Lord will not help you because you have rejected him as king. A very sobering thought there. That regardless of who's serving as president or leader, we have one king. His name is Jesus, and that's how it must be for us as believers. So, yeah, when you begin to walk into the booth, wherever you go to vote, pray, seek direction, wisdom from God. Be informed about the candidates, about the policies that are up, even statewide and local. You have one vote, make it count. As we pray for God's blessing upon those days, because there will be intimidation. You know, there's record numbers of dead people already voted. It's a fact. There are huge numbers of people that have voted multiple times in different locations. It's a fact. There's a surge of illegals that have come across the border over the last 3 months. Many of them will vote. That's a fact. There's intimidation and manipulation by the mainstream press. There's all kinds of things that are trying to suppress the truth. It's just out there. That's why we need to pray over this situation and pray that God will deal with people and pray that honesty and truth will win out. But now let's come down, close things out just by these things. When the election is over, whether it's Wednesday or if it takes a little while, when the election is over, what then? What about the day after? Well, there's going to be some upset people in this country. There's going to be some people that are infuriated. There are going to be some people that are afraid. There's going to be people that are griping and complaining. You can just mark it down. Listen, I don't profess to be a great prophet, but I can prophesy this and know that it's true. That's going to happen. For many people, they're going to be sick. I mean, I remember elections when I found out the outcome of them literally just about made me sick at my stomach. Because I thought, what in the world are people thinking? What is this country coming to? So how do we go on? How do we come to grips with what happened with the election? I'm going to just name some things. And not necessarily in order of importance, but I'm going to name them. First of all, regardless of what happens, continue to operate in faith. We live by faith as believers, not by sight, not by who's in office, not by emotions. We live by faith. So what should your attitude be if you wake up the next morning and whatever decision is made there, maybe the one you didn't want to be made there, continue to walk in faith regardless. Operate in faith. Live by faith. And you know that faith will show in your life. James 2 says, now, faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is dead, inoperative, ineffective. But someone may say, you claim to have faith and I have good works. Show me your alleged faith without your works, he says, if you can. And I'll show you my faith by my works. That is, I'll show it to you by what I do. It's going to be a tremendous opportunity for us, regardless of what decision is made, as believers to continue to function in a positive, loving faith. Keep the faith. Walk according to His Word. Don't be moved by everything you see or hear around you. Get your mind, get your hearts, get in the book, meditate upon His Word, see what He says, and live accordingly. Yes? Yes. Operate. Operate in faith. So very, very important. And faith will always, is an action word. It'll always cause some things to change in your life. And it will cause you to become a greater influencer. Every person in this building is an influencer. You influence somebody. And as people of faith, we've got an opportunity to influence some people around us. And that's what He's called us to do. Colossians 2 says, therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in union with Him, reflecting His character in the things that you do and say, living your lives to lead others away from sin. Or we could say in living your lives in such a way that leads them to Christ. Operate in faith. Look for opportunities to serve people around you. Secondly, keep an attitude of hope. Be positive. Now, this is going to be a real challenge. This is going to have to be a God thing for some folks. How could I stay positive? How could I feel like there's any hope? I want to bring in here, I think, the title or the main terminology used by Pastor Andy Stanley. And I heard part of a message he had a few weeks ago that was entitled, Don't Scare the Children. And I thought he was so right on is because with all the doomsday stuff that's going on here, and this is a critical time, folks. We could be headed for some very, very difficult days ahead. Dangerous days. But his point was, even with that being the case, as parents and as adults, don't feed into your children a sense of fear. Don't talk around them in such a way that they just feel like, well, you know, America's going to the dumps and I'm never going to grow up and there's no hope for the future. We don't need to do that. That's not how we're to look at this. We are to maintain our faith, keep a positive attitude, keep our hope in Him. Stay positive. I'm reminded of the verses that tell us that to not complain about anything, and boy, that'll shut you up in a hurry, won't it? We usually try to complain about everything we want to complain and then ask for forgiveness. I don't think that's the way it's supposed to work. Number three, this kind of ties in with what I said before, avoid fear. Fear and faith cannot operate together. Panic. Do you know that every survival expert will tell you that getting out of dangerous situations requires this? It requires that you do not panic. Panic will take away your ability to think rationally. Panic will take away your ability for appropriate action. And panic will paralyze you. And panic does not belong in the life of a child of God. Fear does not belong in the life of a child of God. If it begins to come on you, reject it. Get in the Word. Get in the truth. Get someone to help you and encourage you. Whatever you need to do, don't live in fear. You and I, we don't have to live in fear. The Bible says, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Be anxious for what? Nothing. No thing. Be anxious for nothing. Last time I checked, that meant nothing. No thing. Avoid fear. Fourthly, it's important for us to refocus on our primary mission. We are children of the KOG, the Kingdom of God. Now, you and I are citizens of the United States, but we are also, as the Bible says, citizens of the Kingdom of God, of His kingdom. Our true citizenship, the Bible says, is in heaven, Philippians 3. We are fellow citizens with the saints, those that are with Him now, Ephesians chapter 2. As the old gospel songwriter said, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Now we need to make the time count while we're passing through, but it's not our eternal home. It's important for us to remember and refocus on the fact that we're to seek Him first, the kingdom of God first, His righteousness, His right ways, and all the things that we might have a tendency to worry about, all those things will be provided. Bottom line is, we can trust in Him. We can rest no matter what's happening around us. Our purpose, refocus our purpose, is to honor Him, to love Him and honor Him, and to love others, and to spread the kingdom of God, the gospel, to others. That's our mission. So very important. Very last thing, as I mentioned before, above all, after the election and every day, above all, become a prayer. Get serious about your prayer life. Repentance brings restoration. That's what we need. Repentance brings restoration. James chapter 2, first of all, says pray for everybody. Pray for all. We should pray for one another, Scripture says. Now, a couple things. We should pray for spiritual awakening in this nation. Something that will really, and it may take, I'll say this, it may take some very uncomfortable, difficult days to wake some people up. And the church has often prospered during its most difficult, during its darkest days. We pray that our nation will not be brought down to a point like this, but I pray that we would turn to Him beforehand as a nation. But if we do not turn to Him beforehand, we will face some dark and difficult days. It was not His perfect will and design, but it will happen. His ultimate will happen, ultimately come about. Now, pray. Pray before you go in the voter booth, or if you've already been, continue praying. Pray for spiritual awakening in this nation, starting in me, starting in you, starting in the church, working through our schools and communities, that people's hearts would come to Christ, that people's lives would begin to align with His Word. Pray. James 2 says, pray for everybody. Then he goes on and he says, pray for those in authority. In other words, we can say, pray for your leaders. Pray for your leaders. Whoever they are, pray for them. Sometimes you have to say, God, I'm praying for them. Get rid of them. But that's not exactly, you know, exactly what you did there. I understand. Pray for them. We are to submit to them. And that's kind of difficult because, you know, the Bible nowhere tells you to submit to anything that's ungodly or contrary to the Word of God. When it means submit to leaders, what it's really saying is don't live with a rebellious attitude toward people in authority. That's what it's saying. Don't live with a rebellious attitude. Don't be a lawless person. But instead, submit to proper leadership. Render unto Caesar what's Caesar, unto God what's God. Don't render to Caesar what belongs to God. In a nutshell, that's it. And as you pray, believe that whatever decisions are made, that God is going to continue to work in our lives and continue into his work in his church to bring about his ultimate will. Because sometimes God does work in some interesting way. I've heard this brought out concerning this election, and I have no idea where it could be true or not. But there is a biblical example about two kings in the Old Testament, Cyrus and Darius. And God used these two men to help to bring people back, to be restored to Jerusalem and to rebuild their temple. He used these two men. Both of them were pagans. Neither one of them were followers of God. But when they got into a place of authority, God worked in their lives and actually brought blessing to the people of God. Now, can you hang on to that and believe for that? So it's extremely important. Coming down to this, let me tell you that this is a fact. You can bank on this, that God is not intimidated by whoever is in the White House. It doesn't intimidate God. They're not bigger than God. We do not put our trust in men or chariots or the military. That's not where we put our trust. We put our trust in him. Romans 8. Let's let this be the amen to this morning. The Bible says, if God be for me, who can be against me? Technically, that's saying, if God be for me, what does it matter who is against me? Amen? Yes? I'm here to tell you that no matter who's president, king, or dictator, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And his return, his coming, is getting closer and closer. Amen. Yes? So what about the day after election? Life goes on. Maybe some changes. But you as a believer have a definite, a distinctive, an extremely important role to play in the coming days and weeks. Let's walk it out, believers. Will we? Yes, we will. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Thank you.